Thank you very much, sister. That was beautiful. I am thankful for the opportunity to be able to introduce our brother Ewart. I look out, and I'm going to try not to get emotional here, but I look out in the audience, and I know every one of us has been blessed by his ministry at some time in our life. And I was fortunate enough to have him come to my house about 40 years ago. And he kept coming and he kept coming and he kept coming. And he'd tell me to write down all my questions and we'd get to them. And every time he came, I had a long list and we'd stay up to all hours and argue and discuss. He was my mentor, and I know he was a lot of your mentors. We've been told a lot of things. We've all heard the story about the key that the unchangeable God. And the things that he told us and told me and told me again and told me again. And when he got done, he told me again, just like he has all of us. But what he brings is the Word of God. And I want each of us to thank God for that and open up our hearts and pray for our brother Ewart. And for ourselves, that we might receive the words that our Lord and Savior has for us this evening. Evangelist Ewart Yeats.
Thank you, brother. It was easy to go to his home. It was like going home. And you know, it was a pleasure to do so. It's always a pleasure to talk to somebody of the hope that you have within you. And there's so many beautiful stories of our Lord. So many different teachings. Things that tells of our love and our compassion. Of his compassion for us and of those things. And how interested he is in the welfare of our soul. And of the things that he went into great detail to tell us not to do. So that he would be able to tell us, come in, ye faithful servant. And so, you know, sometimes it's hard to, in a short length of time, cover the hope that you have within you. Because he's done so much for us. And, you know, it's a joy to come and to meet with you, not because I'm preaching, because our brothers here and our sisters, when you talk to them, they have a hope within them. And that's why he said to gather together all, that we come together and visit one with another of the hope that we have within us. That we would feel that spirit and feel that desire to walk in a just way, wherein that we could indeed have a joy when he comes and meet him. And be happy to do so. And so, I want to tell my brother Mike that today when he was making his prayer and coming out and teaching, you know, he had a picture on there, and he got up and it was an icebreaker. And it woke me up immediately and run a lot of thoughts through my mind because I put 2 years on an icebreaker in the service. Experienced a lot of things. And I wanted to tell you that Joan's dad, your granddad, you know, when Jim and I was there, we went and visited him. And we found out that before they went scattered all over and one thing and another, he had been baptized into the Church of Christ. And so we filled out the forms and sent them in to the apostles. And they come back and he was again a member of the Church of Christ when he passed away. And I wasn't aware of the fact that you didn't know that. But indeed he was. And it was good. It was good. And he was interested to getting back, and he was interested to fill out those forms. Remember that, Jim? Yeah. And so I just wanted to tell you why he's there, that he was a member of the Church of Christ. He indeed was. Now I'm going to start this evening, and some of you is going to hear part of this that you've already heard when you was at the Canada reunion. I have prayed about different things, and I thought about different things, and I was talking to Bob today, and he was talking about repentance and different things, and I'm all that over in my mind, and the Lord kept bringing me back to this sermon that I'm to deliver tonight. And to bring to our attention of His love and of how important it is for us to apply the gospel of Christ to our life. That He depends on that. And my brother Andy back there, he started off this morning with a beautiful scripture that I'm going to read as I go along that has to do, and that's a 12th chapter of Romans, and that's the verses that he brought out and how important it was. And that is because we're here for one purpose, and I'm going to prove that. And you know, when I'm out teaching, I tell the people not to take my word for it. I want them to read it. And I wait for them to look it up so they can read it, so they know that that's what the Scriptures say, because they're not going to be judged by my word. The Scripture says they're going to be judged by these books. And sometimes, you know, they can't remember where we read it or anything else, but if somebody's challenging the gospel of Christ and its beauty and His love and compassion, they might not be able to say, well, it's over here, it's over there, but there's one thing they do know, that they've read it. And so I'd like to tell you tonight, as I go along, those of you who brought your books, please follow me. Please follow me in the Scriptures so you know that that's what they teach, not just Hubert Yates. But he teaches it to the world. He's calling to the world here. And his voice is loud. If we'll lend him ear, he'll direct and lead us in the way that we're to go. Because he come to lead us in the way that we need to go. He come for the welfare of our soul. That's why he came. That's why he suffered. That's why he died. And so I'm going to start tonight. I'm going to start over on page, in the Book of Mormon, I'm going to start over on page 746. And, you know, I think I heard Joel use this here not too long ago, or somebody. And I want to read it here, and I want to make a few thoughts here as we go along. There on that's in the Ether, those that are following along in the fifth chapter. And I'm going to read, I'm going to start in the fourth verse there. And he says this, he says, wherefore, whosoever believeth in God might with a surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. That was the anchor. That was the anchor that was so essential. That was the anchor that was there. That's what I saw on that ship today. I've been there in rough seas where we had to go in and anchor down every anchor we got, and it's still the sea just throw you around. And I've been in it when they had the earthquakes up there, and the sea, we go down a swell like this, and I'd look clear up at the top like that, and I was a boatswain of the watch, and I saw the water blowing, and we'd go completely underwater like a submarine, and we'd do like this, and finally we'd break back up the top of the water. It tore off all our stacks. It tore off all our lifeboats. It tore off everything off the deck. It just tore things all to pieces. We were that way for 3 days. And we just kept the nose of that ship into those swells. And we made a mile and an eighth in 3 days. It was a rough piece of machinery. But so is the world on the hearts of the children of men. The world wants to take us away from the gospel of Christ. He wants to take us away from the Lord. It wants to take us away. It wants to destroy us. Because he don't want to be tormented day and night by himself. He wants all of us to go along with him. To be tormented day and night. And the scriptures tell us there's no way back. That's another important thing. It's not something that'll just last a year and a half or 2 years or something. He tells us there's no way back. And how important that is, that there's no way back. And you know, he tells us in another place there, if we were to go over into, well, let's go over to the second chapter of Mormon. There, and that would be on page 700. You go over there in the second chapter of Mormon. You know, and I'm going to read the 47th verse. He says, but now behold, they are led about by Satan, even as shaft is driven by the wind, or as a vessel is tossed about upon the waves without a sail or anchor or without anything wherewith to steer her, and even as she is, so are they. This is our brother talking to them, telling them, trying to instruct them so that they would know. You know that the currents and the things, the currents of the world, you can go ahead and do that. That's just a little thing. That's all right. And if it violates the law of God, it isn't all right. Don't ever fool yourself. And he knows your thoughts. You can't hide from him. He knows. When you stand before him, he knows everything that you've done. The scriptures verify that. You can't hide from him. You don't do anything. He says he's going to bring forth your secret works that you think are secret, but they're not secret of God. And our brother this afternoon verified the fact that we're living in the last days. That's what the scriptures say. We see some of the prophecies that was going to be fulfilled in the last days. You and I have lived to see them fulfilled. They're done. We have lived to see those things. We're living to see a lot of it now. Wars and wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilence. We're looking at the very things, and he says, and these things are going to happen, but he says the word of God, he says, is going to go to all the world, and then the end shall come. And you know, if you go over to Mosiah in the Book of Mormon there in the first chapter, it tells you when that time comes, he says, nobody is going to be found blameless. You're going to have to make a choice. You can't ride the fence with a bucket in each hand. Nobody's going to be found blameless. We're going to have to make a choice. The only one that's going to be blameless is little children that hasn't reached the age to know. But most of us here are at the age to know, even young people. You're old enough to know what you're doing. And in most cases, whether you're violating the law of God or not, that's something very serious for you to think about. Because you're not going to get away with anything. How do you hide from him? You can't hide. He knows your thoughts. He knows your thoughts right now. What are you thinking? What do you got on your mind? Are you thinking about the Lord? Are you thinking about the way that he has provided for us to come and live with him and his Father? Because he certainly has. He has provided that. And the Father has given us an anchor. And they call it the Messiah. Or the Son of God. Or the Savior. Or Christ. He's given that that would stabilize our ship to eternal life. That it would hold it and keep it in tune to where you could guide it in the place that's necessary for us to go to have eternal life with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. That's what we're here for. That's what this whole thing is for. I'd like to have you turn over. Oh, let's go to page 431. And there in page 431, that's Alma 16. And there in Alma 16, I want to go to 228 verses. Start there at 228. And I hope you're following me. I hope you've got your books open and looking. That's on page 430 is where I'm going to start. Because it's really important. And you know something? They're talking to us now. Everyone that's in this room. He's not beating around. And so it's important for us to know. And I'd like to have you read it. So there's no end. Well, Brother Hubert said this or that. I want you to know what the book that's going to judge us has to say. Because they're going to be open and they're going to judge us. That's what I want you to know. That's what I wanted to know. That's why I've studied over the years and asked God to give me understanding. That's why we've done those things so that we would know what is required of us. Now I'm going to start and page it there at 228. He says, "Behold," and this is Amulek speaking to the Zoramites. Okay? He says, "Behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God." Now, I know it says for men, but a lot of places in the scriptures when it says for men, he's talking about for the women also. He's talking about every one of the whole family of Adam and Eve. It's covering you too. It's not just for the man. Salvation isn't just for a man. It's for all mankind. And it's important for us to understand that. That he's talking to every sister in this house. As well as every man and every young people that's old enough to understand. He's talking to you. Let's read that again. "For behold, this life is a time for men to prepare to meet God." This is what we're here for, to meet God. "Yea, behold, the time of this life is the day for men to perform their labors." It's the day for you and I to decide whether we're going to follow Christ or not. I know a lot of the world and a lot of churches of the world say, "Oh, you're not going to be judged of your work." No, you aren't. Just believe and you're saved. Boy, what a lie. Because he's going to be judged by how we apply the gospel of Christ to our life. That's our works, the spiritual works. When we think that we can do our own thing and we'll just do as we please and later on, well, we'll just come and we'll tell the Lord, "Well, you know, I'm sorry about that and everything's going to be fine." Don't ever kid yourself. You know what that is? That's spiritual suicide. That's what it is, spiritual suicide. It's not taking a gun and shooting yourself, or it's not jumping off a cliff. But it's spiritual suicide when you think that you can override the teachings of God and do as you please and everything's fine because he tells you that we're going to be judged of our works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. We're going to be judged by how we apply the gospel of Christ to our life. Whether we're going to be mad and bad, you know, we're going to do our own thing, we're going to this and the heck with that and everything. Oh my goodness, the people is going to want to change when they stand before the judgment bar of God and they see that and it comes. Because he says when he takes you home, when this old body goes and the spirit leaves this old house here and goes back to the God that gave it, like the scripture says, okay, think about it for a second, and goes back to the God that gave it, he says, when that spirit comes back and stands before the Lord at the judgment day, it comes back with the same spirit it left this life with. If you go rebellious, if you go mad, if you go, you're going to do your own thing, if you go in that way, that's how you come back to stand before the Lord with that same spirit. Well, I'll just do as I please. Well, I'll just tell you what a surprise party you got. Because it isn't what you please. I've told a lot of you before, you know, I don't have faith in the Lord. I've seen Him and I've had Him talk to me. And I know He is. And don't fool yourself with that's just a story set out by people and things of the world. Because He's very much alive and He's very active. And we see that in the blessings that we receive from Him day by day and His love that He poured out upon us. That's a fact. And He's very much alive. You might say, well, I've never seen Him. You may never have, but I'm going to tell you, I have. And I've had Him talk to me. I've had Him show me a vision. I had Him speak to me. 3 times. Brothers and sisters, I know I'm not the best speaker, and I know I sin, and I'm not any better than anybody else, and I can make mistakes, but I know that the Lord is. And I know that He has a love for everybody that's in this room and for all mankind. And He has a desire for the welfare of their soul. That's why He come and suffered, put on the flesh, and allowed Him to drive nails through His hands and His feet and hang Him on a cross. Because of His love for us. That's why. You know anybody else that loves you that much? Is there anybody in this room that's ready to have them drive nails in you and everything and hang you on the cross for the people here? Think about it. Think about the things that He went through for us that we might know what His Father taught. And He says, these things I teach, He says, they're not of me, but the Father which sent me. He's teaching the Word of God the Father. His Father, the same one when you read the Scriptures where God the Father says, now, O God, speaking to Christ, even thy God hath anointed thee. That individual that He was teaching that word so that we could understand and know. Let's go further. 230. Or maybe I'm on 229. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance unto the end. Don't keep putting it off. How many of you are going to be here tomorrow? Somebody going to get killed going home? Do you dare take a chance to procrastinate and keep putting off the Word of God? Where are you? How long are you going to live? Is there anybody here who can raise your hand and tell me? Let's see it. We don't know. And so when we're deciding that we're going to do our own thing, and when I get older and everything and I feel like it, well, I'll start thinking about the Lord and following after Him, you're fooling yourself. How many times have brothers in here preached funeral services on children, on old people, middle age? Who? Where are you going to be tomorrow? Where are you going to be a week from now? Do you have a chance to apply the gospel of Christ to your life? Or are you just throwing it off and you're just procrastinating? You'll do it when you feel like it. Oh, what a dangerous thing. That, like I said, that's spiritual suicide. That's what you're asking for. Because we never know what's going to happen. Let's go on here. 2:30. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity. Oh, this day of life that we got here, He gave to us to prepare for eternity. Are we doing that or are we procrastinating? Are we setting it aside or are we preparing? Are we doing that? Behold, if ye do not improve your time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness wherein there can be no labor performed. You can't apply the gospel of Christ anymore because He's taken you home. Your period of time and my period of time of probation is here and it's today while you're hearing my voice. You might not believe it, but you better start. You better get serious about what it says. That's the period of time we have. Ye cannot say, when ye are brought to that awful crisis, that I will repent, that I will return to my God. You can't say, well, when he comes over and I stand there at the judgment, why, I'll tell him, I'm sure sorry I didn't do what you told us to do. Brothers and sisters, according to the scriptures, which we're going to be judged by, that's a lie. Because you're going to stand before Him in the same spirit that you went out with. Nay, ye cannot say this, for that same spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in the eternal world. If it's rebelling against God, that eternal world is with the devil and his angels to be tormented day and night forever and ever. How many people here like to be tormented? Let me see your hands. You know, it seems like to me that it's pretty simple in a way. It seems like that none of us want to be tormented. It seems like that we come to the realization that we better get serious about the Son of God, our Savior. Because if we don't obey Him, if we don't try to apply His gospel to our life, that's what we got coming, to be tormented day and night forever and ever. That don't look like a very good choice to me. I think it'd be a lot easier to obey the law of God and let the ripples and the current of the world go on. And we need to anchor our anchor on Jesus Christ, our Lord, that it would hold firm and remain there. That's what we need to do. There's no other way. I couldn't teach you another way and teach you the truth. That's why I want you to follow me in the Scriptures so you see what the Scriptures say. I'm not getting that. That's what this Scripture says, and He says it's going to be open and this Scripture is going to judge us. These books are going to be open, He says. And we're going to be judged out of those things which are written in the books according to our works, whether we apply them to our life or not. That's what He says. And these books are going to be open, and that's what's going to happen. And so He's pre-telling us now that don't procrastinate your period of time of probation because you're sent here to learn about God. You're sent here to learn how you're supposed to live your life if you want to go live with them and have love and peace and harmony. Or if you want to be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's what this is about. That's why we're here. We're making that choice. And so he's asking us, don't procrastinate your period of time. Don't keep putting it off and say, well, later on I'll do something about that. You know, I know that I shouldn't steal that bicycle, but later on, why, you know, I might take it back or you know, I'll quit stealing or I'll quit. Don't fool yourself. You're not sure that if you get on that bicycle and start down the street, somebody won't run over you. It's important that we realize that he has provided the scriptures in his love, and the scripture says that God commanded them to write so you and I could be edified, so we could be taught. If we had an ounce of sense, we would know that this old world wasn't by accident. We would know that the things that happened here and the things that he has prophesied over the thousands of years, and they've been coming out now and they've been fulfilled. Who can do that? Is there anybody here can tell me what's going to happen 5 years from now? Unless the Spirit comes and directs. The evidence of those things are plain, brothers and sisters, direct and just as plain as can be. That's why he has caused these scriptures to be written, so they would edify us and teach us of the things that's essential for our soul's welfare. Because that's what he's worried about. He's not worried about this old body. This old body is what our spirit lives in. The scripture says that this old flesh and blood don't enter in the kingdom of heaven. But the spiritual being that lives inside of this house can. And it makes a difference to how you and I apply it to our life, to whether that spirit will. It's our choice. It's your choice. Nobody can do it for you. People can tell you and pray for you and try to counsel you, and you can thump your fingers at them and all, you know, yeah. But let me tell you something. That will all be done when you stand before the judgment seat. And he looks at you and begins to tell you your thoughts and what you were doing. That don't go very far. That's why it's important that we understand. And as we come together here for a reunion. We come together here to be able to be strengthened spiritually. We have invited the Spirit to come, the Spirit of the Lord, to direct and to touch and to direct us and to have His Spirit to be with us. Yeah. You know, if the evil spirit comes, it's going to be something different, guys. Jim and I run into that. And the hair stands up on the back of your neck. And you can feel that evil spirit. It's not warm. It's cold. And it's ugly. Don't kid yourself. You can feel it. It's important that we realize that the Spirit of the Lord comes down, not up. And it's warm. It's gentle. And with it you feel the love that floods your soul. That's what it does. It floods your soul. And it gives you that desire to obey. It gives you that desire to have a greater understanding of the things that he has taught. You get hungry. You get hungry for that spirit, that it will feed you, that you feel that presence of the Holy Spirit, and that you feel that love. You hunger and thirst after those things. And if we do it properly, we're blessed with that Spirit. You're blessed with that Spirit. I look at a lot of you here, I know good and well, you've gone out and you've knelt down, you had things on your mind and you started praying. And when you started praying, you felt the Spirit come down and stand with you. Or I should say kneel with you. And you know that He was hearing. And you saw the evidence of that Spirit, of what it did, and how it would touch, and how it would move, and how it would reach out with the greatest compassion and mercy. How important those things are. And you know, I know what the world teaches. They say, oh, you know, just believe and you're saved, and you're saved by grace. Don't worry about doing anything. You're all right and everything. How about the people that sent to hell? Are they in grace? The Scripture says that we can lose that grace. The Scripture says that we can fall from that grace because we don't obey the commandments of the Lord. And that grace isn't ours. He says that mercy can't override justice. He has a book of laws. And that's just like if I was going down by a school and there's a 15-mile-an-hour school deal there, and so I go through at 85, what are you going to do? Adam, what are you going to do?
Suppose I write you a ticket.
Yeah, that's right. There's laws that we have that govern the city, that governs the state, that governs America, that governs all kinds of things. Whatever makes us think that God don't have laws to come and live with Him. Whatever it makes you think that He wouldn't have a law that tells you the things you should do and things you shouldn't do, so you can come into His kingdom, because He doesn't want it. It tells us that no unclean thing can enter into the kingdom of God. That means that you and I have to live a life that's not unclean. That means that you and I have to live a law that is direct desire to be obedient to the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that amounts to. That's what it comes to. He goes on, he says, for behold, this is 2:33, for behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, ye have become subject to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, and hath no place in you, and the devil hath all power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked. Are you following me, brothers and sisters? And this I know, because the Lord hath said, He dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth He dwell. And He tells it, yea, and He hath also said that the righteous shall sit down in His kingdom to go no more out, but their garment shall be made white through the blood of the Lamb. You know, that's an important thing for us to think about just for a minute. How true that is, that garment was set there. And you know, He says He's going to do that. And where are we? Where are you? You're the one that has to make the decision for you. Where do you want to go? You want to go to heaven, or you want to go to hell and be tormented day and night forever and ever? And the Scripture says there's no place back. Is that where you want to go? Do you think that you're so smart that you can override Christ and do as you please? When you get those thoughts in your mind, you're dumb as a board. Because He knows your very thoughts. And He says even your evil thoughts and even your thoughts are going to be brought forth and out where people can see it. What are you thinking? What have you been thinking? You want those thoughts brought out to the world and to your family and to everybody? Is that what you'd like? That's what the Scripture says is going to happen. Think on it. Think how important it is that we come and we seek the Lord. We seek Him with all our heart. I want to go over for a second over there where our brother was reading there today. I want to go over in Romans 12, and I want to read a little bit there. And I'm going to say a little bit. I notice my time's running. I want to go there at 12. I'm going to start at the first verse there in Romans 12. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Whoa! That's our reasonable service. That's what he said. Don't procrastinate the period of time that he's given us to come and to learn of him and to follow after him. That's our reasonable service to do that. Let's go again. And be not conformed to this world. Whoa, boy, that's something else. Because the world's easy to conform to, because that's why the devil does it. That's why he makes it easy for you to violate the law of God. That's why he talks to you to violate the law of God. Oh, that's just a little thing. That'll be all right. You just go ahead. You'll be okay. Yeah. Will you? Think about it for a minute. Will you? If you are, how about the others that's been sent to hell? How about the others that have rebelled against God, that even when they died, they didn't go to paradise, they were sent out to outer darkness and were to remain dead there until the final judgment? They didn't rise in the millennial reign. Think about it. He has explained the best he could to you and I so that we would know. That's what he's done. And, you know, and I'm sorry that I have to teach these things. But that happens to be my job. Is to teach us that we have to know and wake up and lend our ear to the teachings of Christ. To follow after Him. To do the things that He has required of us. And then we have the joy and the peace and the happiness. We have those things. I told you today in a testimony, I told you Louise and I have had more fun accidentally than most people do on purpose. That's because of the Lord. When you're following after the Lord, you have a peace of heart and of mind. You have a joy. Oh, yeah, you have problems. Oh, Satan's going to be there to try to do anything he can. But you don't have to yield to him. No. And the Lord will bless you when you don't. He's there. He's there to do that. And he knows. And remember, he says, you know, that you can call on his name and say, "Get hence behind me, Satan." You can tell Satan to get out of your life and get away, and you're not going to do that. And so you find your own path. You know your path already. You know your lot. You know what's going to happen to you and a third of the host of angels that was cast down out of heaven with you. And those who listen to you and follow after you, we automatically know what's going to happen. And so he has sufficiently caused these things to be written to edify us, to teach us, to bring us to those things so that we would know the truth and that the truth would make us free. Let's turn over to page 351. That's Alma 10. We're going to read 27 through 30. 351. And now, my brethren, I'm starting the 27th verse. And now, my brethren, I wish from the inmost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that ye would hearken unto my words and cast off your sins and not procrastinate the day of your repentance. This is Alma speaking. But that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on His holy name and watch and pray continually, and ye may not be tempted above that which ye can bear, and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love, and long-suffering, having faith on the Lord, having a hope that ye shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your heart, that ye may be lifted up at the last day and enter into His rest. And many the Lord, and may the Lord grant unto you repentance, that ye may not bring down His wrath upon you, that ye may not be bound down by the chains of hell, that ye may not suffer the second death. Bingo. You know, He tells us that we're sufficiently taught. He tells us we're sufficiently taught that we don't have any reason to say, "Well, Lord, we really didn't know." He's caused to be written the Bible and the Book of Mormon, and you find that in the Scriptures. You find that over there in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. He tells you that book of Judah and that book of Joseph, He says, are going to be one of my hand before the eyes. Thus saith the Lord God. That's who's doing the talking, isn't it, Bob? You bet. That these two books are going to be open and they're going to judge you and I whether we like it or not. So it behooves us to find out what those two books say. What it tells us to do and what it tells us not to do. It behooves us to do that. That we would know. That we would know what's required of us. That we would know those things. And how important it is that we do that. And you know, it's really essential that we do just exactly that. I'd like to go over to the second book of Nephi, the first chapter. That's on page 82. There on page 82, I'm going to read the 65th and the 67th verse. He says, "For the Spirit is the same, yesterday, today, and forever." There's no change. He's done that for a reason, so you don't have to be confused when somebody come along and say, "Oh no, 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 you don't have to be baptized." No, you don't. Just believe and you're saved. But the Lord says, if you aren't baptized, you're damned. That's His word, not mine. He says that in the 16th chapter of Mark, and He says that also in the 6th chapter of the 2nd book of Nephi. And He says it's a commandment that you're baptized. It's a commandment that you repent and that you're baptized or you're damned. That's what He says. That's what He says. You know, when the brother went to Christ and says, "You know, we know you're a great man because all the miracles you do and everything else there in the 3rd chapter of St. John." And the Lord says, you know, you have to be born again. You have to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. He said, well, how can I do that when I'm old? Oh. How can he do that when he's old? Of course, the Book of Mormon is really clear when he says you have to be born again. He says that means you're born of the water, that you're baptized, of those things, and of the Spirit. If you aren't baptized of the water and receive the Spirit, he says you can't even see the kingdom of God. Glasses, binoculars, or whatever you got, you can't see it. He's dead set on the things that he has caused to be written. And it's important that we understand that. That it's important that we understand that he is set on that. And in the 66th verse, and the way is prepared from the fall of man, and salvation is free. You have to live it, that's all. You're not putting out a bunch of money, you're not doing anything. It's that you apply it to your life. 67. And men are instructed sufficiently that they know good from evil, that people, men, women, young people, that if you want to know the truth, you can find it in the Scriptures. That's why he caused them to be written and preserved them. And he says, and they are instructing us sufficiently for the welfare of our soul. That's something to think about. How many of you got the books at your house? Do you read them? Do you go through them? Do you study them? Do you come to the knowledge that the Lord loves you to the point that he's done all kinds of things, even gave his life, that we might have life? That his love is so valid for the welfare of our soul. And for the welfare of the soul you see at the grocery store. Or whether you see him at school, or at work, wherever you're at, that individual, the Lord has died for them if they will follow after him and be obedient to his holy law. That's what it amounts to. We can go and do whatever we want, and we can say whatever we want, but he has sufficiently cause those things to be written to edify us to the way to eternal life, because he wants us to come there. He wants you and I to come there and live with him and his Father. That's what he wants. There's not anybody in this room that he don't want to be able to come and tell the Father that this individual can come and live with us from all eternity to all eternity. That's what he wants. Why? Well, I've made mistakes. There's a lot of parents in this room. You raise children. They made mistakes. Of course, contrary to the world today in the United States, you spanked them when they didn't obey you. Yeah. They made mistakes. And sometimes you had to spank them to get their attention. But why did you spank them? Because you loved them. You didn't want something to happen to them. Because you love them, because you want them to know Christ and to follow after Christ so that they can go in and live with him and his Father. That's what it's about. You love them to where you'd teach them that. You'd love them where you'd bring those things out and tell them, this is the way and there is no other way. And the Scriptures verify that. It says there's no other name nor way given under heaven whereby you can be saved. That's about as plain as you can get it. As we get into these things, there's so much. And my time's going and I got to go. I want to go over to the third chapter, the third Nephi, the 13th chapter. There in third Nephi. The 13th chapter, it's on 675, I think it is. And they were wondering what they were to do and what this and what that and everything. And I'm going to start in the second verse there. He says, "For behold, out of the books which hath been written and which hath been written shall this people be judged, for to them shall their works be known unto men." Your works are going to be known unto man. What are you going to think about that? Are you going to be a little embarrassed? Or do you care whether your work is known to everybody anyway? "And behold, all things are written by the Father. Therefore, out of the books which shall be written, shall the world be judged." Isn't that what it says there in the 20th chapter of Revelation? That the books were opened and another book was opened and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. That other book that was opened was the book of life. You know how you get there? To live a proper life and repent and be baptized. That's how you get there. And live that life. Apply it to your life. Because he wants to tell you, "Enter ye in, you faithful servant." That's what he wants to tell you. That's what he wants to tell any of us. Have you thought about it seriously? Have you thought about the fact that there isn't another way? Doesn't make any difference how old you are or how young you are, unless you're so young that you can't understand the law yet. If you're old enough to understand the law and to be taught the law, it's time for you to come to the conclusion that you don't want to procrastinate your period of time of probation here on this earth, but you want to learn those things and know what's required of you, how important it is. How important it is that you've got to learn those things. And you know, we know that when you get up to a certain age, they can do as they please. But if they're not obeying the law of Christ, the only thing they're doing is fooling themselves. And they're cocking the spiritual gun that's going to destroy them. That's what it amounts to. You can pray for them. You can try to counsel them. You can do all kinds of things. But God has done something. He says that you have your own free agency. You can go to hell if you want to. Yeah, you can live the life that you want and be cast down with Satan and go there. That's what he tells you. You have a right to choose. Are you choosing? Where's your choice? Have you put your choice where it belongs in the Lord, where there's eternal life? Or are you going to go along with Satan? And you know, he tells us, oh, Satan, he says he's the father of lies. He teaches all kinds of things. He comes and tells you, oh, this is okay, you can do that. Oh, the Lord don't mind. That's just a little thing. Look out. Look out. It's important that we teach our children those things that's essential for their soul's welfare. And it's really important. It's really important. He tells us that that's our work as parents, is to teach them to know. He says if we don't, he says in the third generation their sins can be upon the parents because they lacked in teaching them properly. Think about that for a minute. That mothers and dads, you have a responsibility. And that's to teach your children the way they're to go. That's our responsibility that has to be done. Let me go along here. I want to read in 1 John, the second chapter, and the third through the sixth verses. First John, second chapter. And the third through the sixth. "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep His commandments. That's what he says. We know that's it. If we keep his commandments, we're blessed. We're blessed. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He's not telling the truth. He's a liar. But whosoever keepeth his words in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Isn't that where we want to be? Don't we want to be in him? Don't we want him to direct us? Don't we want him to correct us? You bet. You bet. Whenever he corrects you, if you obey to that correction, you get closer to eternal life. You get closer to Christ. You get a greater love poured out upon you. That's what it amounts to. Did you know that? You bet. Did you know that, Caleb? Yes. It makes a world of difference. I'm going to shorten this up. And I heard that snicker. I told you, I tried to warn you in the beginning because I told you that there's so many things to teach that's so beautiful about the Lord. I could just tell you right now, you're like I am. You don't do all things right. But the Lord loves you. He loves you. And if you go and repent of those things, really, he forgives you of them, and you're not judged about them because he's forgiven you of them. That's what you need. That's what we all need. That's why it's so important. And I'm going to read the scriptures, and I want you to follow me especially in this scripture. It's going to be in the 11th chapter of the second book of Nephi. It's going to be on page 147. And I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the love of God. I want you to really ponder on it and what he says here. You know, we've said that you don't want to procrastinate your period of time of probation, that you want to obey him, that you have been sufficiently taught to know that you're violating the law. You know, that's true. We got a bunch of kids here. If they're using foul language, they know they're wrong. They know they have no business using foul language. If they're doing things, if they're stealing, if they're lying to their parents or lying to kids, they know they're not supposed to lie. They know those things. It's not just something just by accident. It's important that we understand that he has set before us a schedule of laws that if we obey them, we're automatically blessed. We're automatically blessed. I told you this morning in the service that I've said before, and I say again, you know, that Louise and I, we've been married now, we're going on 60 years. And you know, we've had more fun accidentally than most people do on purpose. And it isn't because she and I. It's because we've tried to follow the law of God. And brothers and sisters, we have richly been blessed. We have richly been blessed. And don't ever kid yourself that he doesn't bless you. Because he does. And that's something for us to remember. I'm going to read here on page 147. I'm going to start here in the 95th verse. I want you to listen to this real close. And we read about some of the things that's going to happen if you don't obey. Listen to what it says here. For behold, he says, and this is Nephi teaching them. He says, for behold, my beloved brethren, I say unto you that the Lord God worketh not in darkness. He doeth nothing, anything, he doeth not anything, save it be for the benefit of the world. For he loveth the world, even that he laid down his own life, that he may draw all men unto him. That's all the sisters too, like I said. Wherefore he commandeth none that say that they should not partake of his salvation. He didn't say, Mark, you're not to come. He didn't demand anyone to say that they couldn't come for that salvation. Well, there's a lot of people in this old world, isn't there, Steve? But that's why he said the gospel of the kingdom was to go in all the world before the end shall come, that those people would be able to hear about their Savior and apply his love to their life and know in it is the joy and the happiness and the peace that comes through the Spirit of God and no other spirit. And how important it is for us to come to the conclusion that God's thoughts and his direction is a lot better than ours. That we're constantly depend upon him. Say and do as we want. We're dependent on the Lord in all things. Let's go further. 97. Wherefore he commandeth none that they shall not partake of his salvation. Behold, doth he cry unto any, saying, Depart from me? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But he saith, Come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, buy milk and honey, without money and without price. Behold, hath he command any that they should depart out of the synagogues or out of the houses of worship? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. Hath he commanded any that they should not partake of his salvation? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But he hath given it free for all men. And he hath commanded his people that they should persuade all men unto repentance. Wow! How about that? Yeah. Behold, hath the Lord commanded any that they should not partake of his goodness? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But all men are privileged, like one like unto the other, and none are forbidden. He commandeth that there shall be no priestcraft. For behold, priestcraft are that men preach to set themselves up for a light unto the world, and that they may get gain and praise of the world, but they seek not the welfare of Zion. You know, it's important that we realize that his voice is calling to each one of us. And salvation is free. It's whether you and I decide to live it or not. You can't blame anybody else if you don't make it but yourself. You're the only one. You're the one that's responsible for the welfare of your soul. I'm responsible for mine. Brother Pelosado is responsible for his. We're responsible for our own. And you know, we can pray for one another. We can try to counsel one another. But that's all we can do because they have to want to obey the law of God or it's of no value. They'll do as they please. And you can't stop it. You can't stop it. You can weep. You can cry. And you can visit with the Lord and pray that He'll bring them to their knees. But you know, that doesn't always help. Sometimes they come to their knees and they only see the power of Satan and they want to follow the world and not the Lord. You know, there's a lot more to be taught. I'm going to stop there. I'm sorry that I was a little longer than maybe that I should be, but I don't believe I am. Because this is the most important thing in your life. That's what you're here for. That's what I'm here for, is to work out our salvation, to be able to go live with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. And so I'd have to say, don't, whatever you do, don't procrastinate your period of time to probation. Don't keep putting it off. Learn the value of having Christ in your life and the peace that you have and the love that you have and the ability that you have to forgive the things that's essential. That comes from the Spirit of Christ, to love and to forgive and to help and render help to people, and to bear light. And if you don't have Christ in your life, brothers and sisters, there's no way you can bear a light that will glorify the Father which is in heaven. It can't be. That light is sponsored and powered by the Son of God. That's where that light comes from. And that's where it's to come from, to reach out to the souls of the children of men. God bless us to that end. It's my prayer.